Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters, and this has not happened very often lately. We have all five sisters in the house today. Woo-hoo is all I can say. Can you believe it? You got, not only do we have all five of us, but all of us appear, our connections appear to be working for the time being. Correct?
Yes, exactly, Liz.
So let's go around the horn. Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas, Texas.
Happy to be with you.
All right. Sheila, a.k.a. Annabelle Needle, which is your Skype handle. How's your connectivity going right now? You good for now?
So far, so good, Liz.
So far, so good. Leanne, also in Pasadena, you're in, you're on, you're good?
All three.
And Monica, we caught you before you leave town again this week. So, but for now, you're with us on Satellite Sisters.
Yes, I am, Liz. I'm here.
All right. Well, the bad news, good news for this week for me is that I can't believe I'm just finishing my taxes this morning. That makes me really mad. That's the bad news. But the good news is Veep starts again tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not on the Veep bandwagon yet, it is a super funny TV show.
It is also filthy dirty, so do not email us if you object to the language, okay?
Oh. You know, Leanne, I was going to say the same thing because I became hooked on that show, The Americans.
Yes.
Yeah.
About the spies, and I watched all 10 episodes over the last 2 weeks. Absolutely loved it. Please don't email me. It's very violent. There's sex. Yeah. I enjoyed the whole thing.
Can we just say it's television for grown-ups, okay?
Yes,
we're allowed to have that in America. Shows that are just for grown-ups.
It's dark, but well-made.
Yes, not kid-friendly. I just want to say, at the end of the show, we have a first-ever Satellite Sisters stunt. We would like to thank longtime listener Kathleen. She sent us a super nice card, and included in the card is a California scratch-off lottery ticket that is part of the Lucky for Life game.
Woo-hoo!
And she wanted us to have this. So Kathleen and all, we are going to do the live scratch off at the end of today's show. So you've never seen that on the radio before, have you?
Exciting.
Dramatic. Now, do we have to share the winnings with Kathleen at all the satellites?
I don't think so. No. But she does specify on the card, Julie, funny you should say that we are not allowed to share the winnings with our brothers. We do have three brothers. She writes, just for you, five girls, no brothers. Okay, thanks, Kathleen. We'll use that in court.
Liz, that's funny because I got an email this week or a post on Facebook after I revealed a health scare, and one of the posters suggested that perhaps I had bought a cursed item over the last year at an antique store and that I should rid my house of any bad luck icons. So there you go. Let's hope my luck has turned.
Yeah. Well, okay. Speaking of your health scare, let's just start with getting the details on that.
Okay, I mentioned on Facebook, I was in the hospital for 3 days this week getting massive amounts of antibiotics because I had a tiny cut in my hand, a scratch, people, that turned into a staph infection that just overwhelmed me. And I can't even believe it. Like, I can't believe that last weekend, Sunday morning last weekend, I was in the emergency room for the second time in 2 days, waiting for 4 hours to get into the hospital to see a doctor. And as soon as the doctor saw me in the ER last Sunday, they admitted me to the hospital for massive amounts of antibiotics. I feel very, very lucky. Let's just put it at that.
Right. Well, Sheila and I were both there in the hospital on Sunday afternoon. That was one super bad-looking wound you had there. That did, don't you think, Dr. Dolan? Sheila came in fully gloved and gowned, which...
Yes.
reverse isolation procedures.
I mean, the sign outside her door said, don a gown and gloves. I am not going to fool around with staph infections.
I know. You were right, Sheila. I should not have just busted past the sign.
Mainly, I'm filled with so many third grade germs that I don't want to get Leanne sick.
Yeah.
So
it was an incredible scenario. I mean, and of course,
you
now
were
that
super
I'm
sick.
I was super sick. And now that I'm back home, everyone who I happen to mention, you know, the staph infection to then tells me one horror story after another. So I feel very lucky for a couple of things that I was on it right away. You know, it was a small...
How did you get the cut?
You know, it was a cut on a wire out by, on our gate. I was closing the gate, walking the dog. You know, we have that completely unelectronic gate, yeah, you know, right. Where we've just wired like a hook and needle to it so we can shut it for the dog. You know, it's just, it's makeshift at best, but at least it was a new fresh wire. So I got the cut and, it was a scratch. It wasn't even a cut. It wasn't a puncture. It was a scratch. And I looked at it. I went, oh, darn it. I hope I don't get tetanus. Because God knows how long it's been since I've had a tetanus shot, right? So I went in right away and washed it and put antibacterial stuff on it. But it just turned out over the next couple of days, I was not careful enough. And I ended up getting it, sort of doing some first aid for somebody else is the best we can tell. And
I mean, you use your hands all the time. I mean,
it's on the palm of my right hand. So it's really was, I mean, even though I was scrupulous about washing and stuff, this was just a situation where I just literally like plunged the hand into another person's staph infection without knowing it, obviously. And so a couple days after that, it started to hurt. And I went to urgent care because I thought, oh, I have tetanus. You know, I'm an idiot. And the doctor at urgent care, just basically threw a prescription at me from across the room. She's like, you have staph. And like, and then over the next week, I just watched it get sort of bigger. It kind of abscesses and gets painful. And I don't, it's gross to go into. Usually it's drains on its own. That's what I was led to believe, but mine did not. So I had to go to the ER and get it lanced, which I can honestly tell you is incredibly painful. I can't describe the pain of that.
I think your text message on that said 100 times worse than a root canal.
Yeah. And I've had 6 root canals in the last year. So I know from root canals and, but that didn't quite get it. So Sunday I woke up. And there was no doubt my hand was huge, swollen. There was red streaking going up my arm. And so I drove to my husband, dropped me at the ER because that's the kind of couple we are.
So, call me when you're done, honey. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I mean, really,
that's what I thought. He was going to run and do some laundry. It was Sunday morning. And I didn't think it was going to be, you know, you're admitted to the hospital. But there was no doubt when the doctor, 3.5 hours later, when the doctor finally saw me. So, but Monica, you people in the hospital do a fine job because I wasn't in my bed 15 minutes at Huntington when there was an infectious disease doctor there. And then an hour later, like a plastic surgeon, a hand surgeon showed up to assess the abscess. They didn't know if they were going to have to do further surgery. And then, you know, I don't even have
You wish he had.
He was very attractive. Yes, I had my hand surgeon, Dr. Oz's more attractive brother.
Is that when you called Sheila to come over?
It is. And she looked good in the gown. She was hot in the gown.
Did you cinch it at the waist? How did you make that surgical gown work for you?
You know I tried, Julie.
But Leanne, what's amazing is you are such a strong, healthy person. You know, if you had, you know, a weaker immune system or if you were older or something... But you're so strong and healthy, and you still got the staph infection. That's amazing.
And just really got sick with it, too. I don't even think I realized how sick with it I was, how overwhelming it was to the whole body until I got home. I was in for 3 days. They did the culture. They, you know, gave me the right antibiotics. They did some procedures short of surgery that, you know, cleaned out the wound. And when I got home the next day, I could literally barely get off the couch. Monica, is that typical? I mean, no one really told me like about the aftermath. I've been exhausted.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm sure you were up all night working about it.
Monica, come on.
Well, okay. Very, very tired. Yes. Should be expected.
So Wednesday, Thursday, I'm just really literally having to take it easy. I feel as good as I felt, you know, in a long time to this morning. So I'm happy to be on, but I feel relieved. Occasionally I'm reminded how the benefits of living in a big city near really good healthcare. And that was one of those times I thought, boy, if you lived in a rural area and you didn't have access to a major metropolitan hospital and all those specialists, I don't know.
Can I also acknowledge a third member of your support team at your hospital who was the Sunday night, the chaplain, someone from the chaplain's office came in to talk to you while I was there. And in the course of this lengthy discussion with, I believe his name was Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff is also a personal trainer. So that seems like something you also only get at a major metropolitan hospital in California. The chaplain is also a personal trainer. So if you're having trouble getting back on your feet, you might want to give Jeff a ring.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your Butcher Box account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your Butcher Box on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
It's just
You know what, though? It's because we spent so much time in hospitals. When they said, do you want a chaplain? I'm like, yeah, sign me up. I mean, I felt like they were so helpful with mom and dad. So, and Jeff with the earring and the long hair, the chaplain, it was not exactly Father Flanagan. But
you do some planks and praying? Oh, how did that work for you?
Julie, the good news is I won't be doing planks for quite a while because it's right on the palm of my hand. And so now I'm home. I've already seen the attractive hand surgeon again. And I'm going back to see him for another follow-up. And then I have a home health.
I'm sure you are.
I have a home health care person coming to do the wound. And this, I had no idea. She comes in and she squeezes that dang wound to drain it. It is like the worst pimple extraction you've ever had, times a thousand. It's so painful, and she seems to enjoy it so much. And so...
Is she Russian, Lynn?
She, no, just as she's Filipino. They're tough, too. They are tough, too. So... and then, and so I am really kind of, the hand is wrapped and I really can't get it wet. I can't do any dishes. I can't clean any bathrooms for a couple more days until it heals over. But, so far things are going well. But I feel very, very lucky. That's all I could say.
You and do have a couple of big appearances coming up though, that involve signing books for the launch of your new book, Elizabeth the First Wife. Are you going to be good to go for those events with the right hand?
I know. I had to ask the experts. I did have to reveal that when they said, what do you do for work? I'm like, well, I'm a writer. I'm supposed to go on a book tour. Cause I was kind of freaked out. I'm hoping to sign a lot of books. So, I should be good to go. I may, just as a precaution for the first couple of signings, order a stamp. I know that sounds cheesy, but, it's, my hand gets fatigued, I have to say. So I'm trying to move it around, but yes, I will be at the LA Times. Thank you, Liz. The LA Times Festival of Books. If you're in Los Angeles or you're coming in for the big festival of books, I'll be there April 20th, signing at the Prospect Park booth from 12 to 2. I'll put information on my Facebook author page, Leanne Dolan Author. And then Vroman's in Pasadena is on May 8th. That's kind of the opening night of my tour, the kickoff event. So, and then I'll be doing 8 zillion other appearances in many fantastic cities around the country. So, again, Leanne Dolan Author is where to find those. Or else... I'll be posting them. I don't want to bug people. But I do want you to save the date. I do want you to show up. I don't want to bug you all, but you need to come. So I should be ready to go. My doctors tell me I should be fine. Now, I might not be shaking hands maybe ever again.
How about lavender gloves?
I know. I'm just
thinking to match the cover of your new book.
I know. It does make me think, like, I don't want to touch anything or anyone ever again. So I don't know. Maybe I'm being overly cautious, but
you could do a knuckle bump, Lynn.
I really don't.
It's why? Mainly... Why? I think you should do, you know, like they do in Thailand. You know, they put their hands together and they why. That's what you need to do.
Oh, that.
You develop some kind of signature move.
Yeah.
It could be.
The finger point?
Yes.
Just a little wave.
Well, you know what, though? I saw this news story this week, and maybe because I was in the hospital contemplating sort of a worst-case scenario, it really struck my fancy. There was a 70-year-old woman who was in a coma for several weeks, and she came out of the coma, sisters, and the first thing she requested was to go to a Bob Seger concert.
You are kidding.
Those were her first words, right?
Yeah. So, you know, Sheila, I know you love the night moves. I know you love it.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Brings me back.
You know, I saw Bob Seger in concert.
All week long, I've just been obsessing with, like, who do I want to hear when I come out of a coma? Like, who would I want to go see? And then yesterday, my husband was doing some housework. He was vacuuming because I can't vacuum. And, he put on Terrence Trent D'Arby. And that's who I want to hear when I come out of a coma. I'd like, TTD, I decided.
Is he still with us?
No, just put on Wishing Well, Liz. That's all I need. I don't need to personally see him. I just need to hear that song. Anybody else? Any other thoughts on who you'd like to hear coming out of a coma?
Oh, a good Rolling Stones tune would wake you right up.
What? That's
start me up. No, start me up, man.
Anything by Carole King will really...
Carole King.
I think that would put you back in the coma, but okay.
How long has she been in a coma?
I think it was a couple of weeks.
2 years. 2 years.
Oh, 2 years. Okay.
All right. I think I would be much more tempted rather than a music choice to like want like a good juicy hamburger or something, you know? Oh, God. Okay.
Well, I was happy to administer caffeine around the clock to Leanne during her illness.
She was. So, she looks good.
Diet Cokes, lattes in the hospital. You know, you just got to keep it moving, Leanne.
Yes.
Keep it moving.
So, Sheila, actually, last week you left us hanging in the middle of a story. You gave us one half of the tale of you and Monica driving yourselves into New York City. But now that Monica's here, can you guys fill us in on the other half of the tale?
Absolutely. Right, Monica?
Yes, we can. We don't know what happened to Bruckner Boulevard. You know, it was just the craziest trip. I mean,
okay, so let's say how it started, because when you ask Jimmy, our brother, for directions, they go into their kitchen desk drawer and pull out a file folder of old directions written on legal paper. Right, Monica?
They did, but Jimmy gave us directions, and not only were there the printed step-by-step directions, but on the other side was a visual map. So it was just like MapQuest, but Jimmy did the whole thing. And he told us this was the easiest way to get into New York, so we went with it.
But it was very basic and very, it was missing some stuff, wouldn't you say, Monica? Missing some essential roads. Okay, so we are driving into New York. We did okay until we got to the Bronx, right, Monica?
Right. And, you know, Sheila, the main thing, the amazing thing is you were driving. And remember Jimmy said? He said there's a big, crazy intersection with a lot of things going on.
Yes.
That was the way he described it. And he said, you have to stay on whatever it was, 678 or 278. And Sheila, you negotiated that big, crazy intersection. And then we find ourselves on Bruckner Boulevard.
Oh, boy.
You know, and everything was going great. We were supposed to take Bruckner Boulevard. Then there was supposed to be some bridge off to the right that takes you to Manhattan. And all of a sudden, it's one of those situations where you see the street signs, Bruckner Boulevard, Bruckner Boulevard, and then there's no more Bruckner Boulevard.
But there's no more Bruckner Boulevard. And as the writer, the famous Bronx writer Jimmy Breslin used to say, nothing good ever happens on Bruckner Boulevard.
And that's true. And I saw people going to the right, taking this right-hand turn. So Sheila and I started we were wildly driving around these blocks. I mean, we were in like a Marty Scorsese movie.
Okay.
There was like St. Anthony of Padua.
we took a right and we found like there was this church. I mean, right out of The Godfather. It was. There's a parking lot in the middle of the street for the churchgoers. Like, it's just cordoned off. Like, you are free to park in the middle of the road. We keep driving by this church, and the church is guarded by police. I mean, like, 24/7.
Yeah, there's cops outside on Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
Wise guys. Some wise guys in there.
It was... Well, and then we tried to take a different tack.
good thinking.
There was some good problem solving going on.
Then Sheila fired up her iPhone, you know, the Google iPhone. She said, this has never done me wrong. Just Monica, just read off what it's saying. We had totally abandoned Bruckner Boulevard at this point. And the next thing you know, we are in a part of the Bronx that is straight out of the French Connection. You know, you're driving down the road and there's like the railroad trestle and subway above.
Right, the elevated train and you're under.
Yeah, it was
like the whole ride was movies from the 70s. I mean, we were like...
Gene Hackman was behind us. But Sheila just keeps saying, just keep reading out the directions, Monica. Just tell me what the next step is. And
okay, and Monica, of course, had never used a smartphone.
Right. So, yeah, that's... Yeah.
And she has the phone down, but like in between her knees. And she said, "I'm getting nauseous looking at this." I said,
"That's typical."
I said, "Hold it up, man. Hold it up." I said, "Hold up the phone and look at the map." I was
Thelma and Louise in the Bronx.
Oh, God.
We are in the French Connection. And then how did we get out of that, Monica?
I don't remember, but I thought we were going to have to spend the whole day in the Bronx.
I mean, this whole trip was organized around the fact that Monica wanted to go for a walk in Lower Manhattan, right, Monica? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it would be nice just to spend the morning there. You were going to take me to the plane, which was another crazy road trip. But, you were going to take me to the airplane. I thought it'd just be fun to go into New York for the morning. It was a beautiful, cold, sort of sunny day. And once we found our way into Lower Manhattan, Sheila, you just know that neighborhood like the back of your hand. You just did a great job.
I was cruising. We got out. We went for our walk. It was so freezing, wasn't it, Monica?
It was cold, yeah.
We decided to get back in the car and head up. We were going to go to this great brunch. We couldn't find any place. So we decided to go to the old French roast. Do you remember that, Liz?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, the old standby. Walked right in.
The old standby, and we had a great brunch, didn't we, Monica?
And a great parking space.
Oh, that parking was sweet. Once we got to the village, it was blocking everywhere.
And then you had to get yourselves out to JFK, but that was smoother, right?
Much smoother. Oh, yeah, much, much. I mean,
that's the smartphone. And, you know, there's little signs with airplanes on them.
And yeah, arrows. That's what Monica kept saying. Oh, I love those signs with airplanes.
Well, it is one of the amazing things about driving into New York City. And, Leon, I think you commented on this last week.
That
it is so – Manhattan is so unbelievably poorly marked.
It is.
You would think that there would be signs all over, like, this way to actual Manhattan, New York City. But that appears almost nowhere. So even though we grew up an hour outside of the city and are very familiar with Manhattan, we always went back and forth on the train because the public transportation is so good. So the idea of driving back and forth to the city, it should only take an hour to get from where you were in Westport, Connecticut to Manhattan on a, you know, it was a Sunday morning, right? But I suspect you took a little longer than that.
No, we took the 70s tour. I mean, we went through the entire decade in the Bronx. Every movie ever watched in the 70s, it was insane. I mean, we were laughing. We were howling. I mean, it was just...
You never were afraid. You didn't get afraid or
what? No, I wasn't afraid.
But you know what, Sheila? The next day at work, I just wanted to know what happened to Bruckner Boulevard. So I went to like a Google Earth map, the satellite map, and then I kept, you know, focusing in. I don't know where we went wrong.
We did everything Jimmy told us to do, but, you know, again, we were safe because we were surrounded by cops.
All right, moving on. I had one business story I wanted to comment on, which actually does involve both Westport, Connecticut and New York City, because at the core of this story is Martha Stewart. And Leon, you have been extremely vocal on your other podcast, on Chaos Chronicles, about the fight between Macy's and JCPenney, correct?
Yeah, I just can't believe that Martha is at it again, and somehow she's going to manage to bring down not one, but two major American retailers in her wake. She feels like she had an exclusive contract with Macy's, but that wasn't good enough, so she had to sign another exclusive contract with JCPenney.
Yeah.
And it is just so splitting hairs, like her legal argument, like, oh, well, at Macy's, my stuff is on the regular floor, but at JCPenney's, it's going to be a store within a store. And as she said in court, I'm sure, you know, consumers will understand that those are two different product lines. And they said, really? You think so? She said, well, maybe they have two houses and maybe they need to furnish two kitchens.
Exactly.
Yes. And apparently she's never stepped inside a JCPenney because we don't have two houses. Those of us that shop at JCPenney.
And well, you know, this week, of course, they fired the CEO of JCPenney.
Of JCPenney,
exactly.
I mean, he's going down because of Martha.
Right. So the guy who made the actual deal with Martha, who did it in an attempt to save JCPenney, he got fired this week. They brought back the old guy. And then Friday, the judge in the case temporarily ruled in Martha's favor. Or in JCPenney's favor. He said, well, because apparently JCPenney's bought like hundreds of millions of dollars worth of merchandise for these stores within the store.
Right.
So that's what they're fighting about in the short term is what happens to that stuff, just the inventory that they already have. Are they allowed to sell it? And the judge ruled that JCPenney is, in fact, allowed to sell it while they sort out the larger issue of whether any of this was legal at all. So it means really, Macy's loses.
Yeah.
JCPenney loses because they just lost the CEO and the whole like long-term master plan to save JCPenney. So the only one that wins in this whole scenario is Martha. It is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, she's a tough cookie. She's done her time, Liz, as I like to remind people. And I think she's just. You know, she's taking care of Martha, right?
Yeah.
She is unrepentant. She called the suit like hogwash and balderdash and stuff like that, which I don't believe are legal terms, but she can't possibly see how this could have been, you know, not clear cut. It's so clear cut to her. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, what's clear cut to Martha is what's good for Martha. So anyway, they, temporarily, you will now be able to buy that Martha Stewart stuff at JCPenney, Liam. So good luck with that. Though I know you're also very loyal to Macy's. So it's going to be, this will be a tough decision for consumers.
Yeah, you know, Liz, I'm going to use the Macy's stuff to furnish, you know, my one house. And
and in the event that you acquire another house?
Yes.
Good idea, Liam.
You know, the good news is that there's so much crap in JCPenney that you can't actually get through the store because they just jam it full of stuff. So I don't think they're going to sell one piece of Martha Stewart stuff because you can't get to it. That's what I'm predicting. That is really a store with too much stuff.
Okay, well, we shall see.
Wow, speaking of stores, you guys, I had quite a successful little retail outing yesterday.
Oh, Monica,
and that's not
good.
Usually a sentence that comes out of your mouth.
I know. You know, I don't really like to shop, but I'm going on a trip this week, which I'm very excited about. I'm going to a tropical destination, but it's for a meeting. So I needed something to wear that was sort of fresh, yet the meeting's very casual. And it's going to be at this beach resort, so I don't need to wear a suit or anything fancy. And I thought, you know, I just need to pick up something new and something fresh. I was thinking about Mom. She'd always say, oh, just go get something for yourself. Just go get something new. So I went to Chico's yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
I know we have a lot of experience with Chico's, and, you know, I got some really nice things there. So I just appreciated Chico's, how they have that sort of, you know, gentle sizing.
Yes. the 1, 2, 3 is not the dose of reality.
Exactly. You're a size 1, you're a 1.5. You know, you feel good about yourself when you're a 1 or a 1.5. But the sales lady was very good. And I got myself a pair of like fresh white capris and a nice turquoise t-shirt to go with it and a sweater. And then, you know, I just decided I was feeling lucky. Things were half off if you bought one pair of jeans. So I bought some boyfriend jeans.
Oh, cute. All
right. Don't have a boyfriend, but I have boyfriend jeans now.
How about some accessories, Monica? Did you go for any of the belts, the jewelry, scarves?
I was thinking about you because I know you gave me that Chico's necklace.
Yes.
She suggested I buy a Chico's necklace, but I told her I already have one. But then I was thinking about when we did that appearance and we met the woman who was the vice president of Chico's, and they dressed us in those Chico's outfits, and she said that she was a belt believer.
Right.
Everything should be sort of belted, and I'm not really a belt believer, but I was thinking about the belt believer line as I was walking out the store. But I'm all set for my trip.
Well, just be sure to push up your sleeves and turn up your collar, because the two other styling techniques that we learned from all
to elongate. Everything was about elongating your line. So.
Yeah, which is why I'm not a belt believer, because that doesn't really elongate me. But anyway,
color blocking.
Oh, good. I like color blocking.
Okay, yeah. Good, Leah.
Small doses. Yep.
Yeah. I know turquoise is your color, so. Yeah.
Hey, Julie, I just realized by accident we skipped entirely over the hard news that you cover for Satellite Sisters. Oh, my goodness. North Korea, people are clamoring at the Satellite Sisters Facebook group for your insight into what is happening in North Korea.
That was an excellent segue from Chico's to North Korea. And no other news organization podcast is going in that direction. So that's what makes us a unique group. I also feel, I have to say, yes, we have at Satellite Sisters at the Facebook page, a number of people have been commenting on the situation, the alarming situation in North Korea. So here's the thing, sisters. You know, I went there with my girlfriend a couple of years ago, and it's like anything. There is just no substitute for actually going to a place. So when I hear people on BBC or on NPR or CNN, and they're talking about North Korea, and you can tell they have like no idea what they're talking about. You know, this is when I realize that Dennis Rodman and I, we're together. He and I know. Now, I did not meet Kim Jong-un. But I did spend 5 days there. A couple of points to Satellite Sister listeners. I am never, ever, ever going back there again. Okay. That was it. I mean, I flew from Beijing into Pyongyang and then Pyongyang back to Beijing. When we landed in Beijing, which is not exactly the land of the free, I had tears in my eyes. I was so happy to be out of that country because it's a terrible dictatorship. But what I've been saying about this increased rhetoric that that Kim Jong-un, the young 28-year-old dictator, is, you know, a lot of people want to dismiss this, or there are late-night jokes about this guy.
Right.
Or, ha, 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 he doesn't know the difference. He's threatening to bomb the United States, and he doesn't know the difference between Colorado Springs and, you know, and Louisiana that got faulty maps or whatever it is. I think we are really wrong to underestimate these threats. I think that this is a very serious situation because, first of all, there are no counterweights in this country. There is no one that's calling Kim Jong-un out. There's no freedom of the press. There's no religious, you know, they don't have religious organizations. They don't have unions. They don't have any business leaders. I mean, you have to think of this like you would think of Stalin, because that's what Kim Jong-un's grandfather, that was his role model, Stalin. So they, you know, that's all they've got going in this country is, you know, military preparedness. They have been, you know, they have talked constantly when we were there about the terrible American imperialists and about the Japanese and how terrible they are. And there's really nothing in North Korea to keep them there. I mean, there's no businesses. They don't have much heat. They don't have enough food. So if Kim Jong-un, you know, says we need to go into South Korea because we need to reunite the Korean Peninsula, because that's really how they feel about it. They feel like it should be a united country and that they're the pure Koreans. And if they can just get into South Korea, they can straighten out all those South Koreans and they'll see the way of the great leader. So that's what I think we really have to worry about is because,
you know, I remember when you came home from there, Julie, even then, which was like 3 or 4 years ago, you had the feeling that they felt like the United States or South Korea was about to invade any second anyway, that the North Korean people still believe they are at war every second of the day.
Yeah, they feel threatened by South Korea, threatened by the U.S., by Japan. They, you know, recently there have been postings on a number of blogs that said they are ready for war. They don't want war, but they must defend themselves. And they, you know, they said they're reclassifying the DMZ, which is the and they are saying that is now the front line. They, you know, even places when we went to the DMZ, We could go, you know, we could walk around. You're not allowed to do that anymore because they see that as the front line. And do I think they're going to bomb the U.S.? No. But do I think that they
might? Oh, good. Okay, I was waiting for that because I'm worried. I'm on the West Coast.
I think they might invade South Korea. Yeah, that's it's not that far away. When we were in North Korea, we could see the lights in South Korea. So it's because it's so dark in North Korea, you know, because they don't have any energy or power. But I think they could do that. Or I think they could send a bomb to Japan because they hate Japan as much as they hate the United States. So it's a very serious situation. So,
you know, that's one of the things about Dennis Rodman going there. Like, not only was it a joke, it just makes you not take the whole situation seriously. But it is really serious. I've been telling people that. I was like, my sister was there. It's bad. That guy's just a wacky lunatic meeting with Dennis Rodman. Ha, ha, ha. But it's like that the damage that that visit did was really dramatic, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. So I think you should stop listening to the late night comedians.
Okay.
Hope that, you know, that our Secretary of State and others can find some kind of diplomatic solution. That's
okay. I just have to say though, John Kerry talks so slow. I'm trying to listen to him, but it takes so long to listen to him.
Okay. Okay, we'll send him some notes, Liam, to sort of pick it up a bit.
Energy. He needs to pick up his energy. As they used to, as our producer used to say, John Kerry, put a smile in your voice.
Well, whether it's listening to John Kerry versus listening to Julie Dolan, I did make me smile when I saw on the Facebook group, Julie, that longtime listener Emily posted that I'm pretty sure Julie is the only reason I know anything at all about North Korea. So I think that you know more about most of those CNN and BBC correspondents that have.
They make a nice jello in there.
It was top notch. That's my phone, by the way. Sorry.
Okay. Well, we can just ignore this. It's real life. So we have the live scratch off coming up.
Okay. I think we lost Annabelle Needle. I think she dropped off the call. But if we win, we'll just cut her out of the winnings. Just tell her we lost.
Anything else we need to cover before the live scratch off? Anything? So, Leon, anything else people need to know about Elizabeth the First Wife? It's all going to be on your author page, right?
It is. Well, I mean, I'm trying to do my best. I lost a little bit of work time last week, but I do want to assure people the e-version is coming out. It should be available on Amazon the same day as the paperback version, which is May 9th now. They're shipping early, but Amazon tends to ship when they get the books in the in the warehouse. For some reason it's not listing at Amazon, but don't worry, there is an e-version that will be available the first day the book is available. So
okay.
I don't run Amazon. I just want to be clear. If something's off there, I can't do anything for you. But I do know absolutely the ebook version will be available immediately as soon as the paperback version is available. And now I'm getting really excited. You know, now that I'm out of the hospital, I'm getting very excited about the book. I'm really looking forward to being out and about, and it's kind of exciting.
This is going to be great. I think it says a lot about, you know, the loyalty of the Satellite Sisterhood, that they believe that Julie can fix the situation in North Korea, and they believe that you can fix what goes on behind the scenes at Amazon.
At Amazon, yeah. You're right.
People have a lot of confidence in our ability. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Okay, so Kathleen, longtime listener, sent us a card, which was very nice. So many of you have been really thoughtful in the past 6 months. You know, we lost our mother and then our father. And the handful of people that, like, send real cards to our post office box, it might spend a little bit of time in the backseat of my car before it makes it into the office. But this one finally did, Kathleen. And I liked your P.S. She put P.S. Like Edna, I believe in cards, which is nice. You know, our mother was a big card sender. So here we have California, lucky for life. We could win $500 a week for 25 years.
That'd be
and
awesome.
What we do here, okay, hang on. Let me just make sure I scratch off the right bits. So there's a winning number and our number. So I match any of our numbers to the winning number. Okay, somebody can make a drum roll sound while I'm scratching.
Okay, we really can't do that. We don't do that.
Drum roll.
Okay, drum roll. Okay, that's $50. Ooh, that's $3. Ooh, so far, nothing matching.
$50.
$40.
$3 every week for life? I'll take it.